All right, intro?
Yeah. Let's do it.
My name's Trent.
And I'm Mark.
And this is
Geek Off the Street.
This week, we are tuning in for our bi-monthly sellout episode.
We're talking about that hit.
Yeah.
Hit show.
Hit show.
Out on HBO / HBO Max called Velma.
Yeah, Velma. So hit as in, like, it's making a big impression in a lot of ways.
Right, right.
It's, not for good reasons, yeah. though. That's what we mean to say.
Yeah, it's like a hit on the back of your head.
Yeah. We decided to talk about it this week because of that, because of the backlash and how unpopularly popular the show is, I guess is how we say.
Yeah, at a couple points we try to defend the show a little bit in certain ways, but I don't know, is this show salvageable?
Yeah, right. Anything, yeah. And does it deserve the 6% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes?
Right.
Which is by far the worst score I've ever seen for anything.
Yeah. And that's why it's a hit. No one's done that before.
Yeah, exactly. But yes.
But yeah, with all the pandering and some of the wokeness, a lot of wokeness, it kind of leads into other topics. And
yeah.
That we get into all that.
Yeah. All that and a bunch more.
Yep.
Yeah. Right here on Geek Off the Street.
Okay. All
right. This is Geek Off the Street, your go-to channel for all things from obscure geekdom to modern-day pop culture and everything else in between.
What's up, everybody?
Hey.
We're back.
It's that time again.
Hey, the time again of this time of day on this specific week.
Nice. I thought you were going off a cliff on that.
I'm going a little further, but that's good amount of things to say, though.
This time of day, this time of time.
This time of time. That's what I should say. Showtime. Anyway, my name is Trent.
And I'm Mark.
And this is
Geek Off the Street.
World famous podcast where we talk about geek culture, pop culture, and also whatever else we feel like it.
Right.
Which kind of covers today.
Yeah. I know we talked before about we were kind of pandering a little bit with the Wednesday episode.
Oh yeah,
I could justify
There's
Wednesday.
A tie in, though, yeah.
This one I feel like is a little bit more pandering because it's kind of the hot thing right now.
We really
in a
picked
sense.
It up just because of the controversy.
The reactions.
They're not controversy, but the reactions of it. And 100% selling out. But I mean, there's some like. not really anything supernatural, really, but like you know, it's some.
It's definitely a pop culture thing because this is based on a show that's been around forever and a day. And
yeah.
For those of you that don't know, we're talking about the HBO / HBO Max series Velma. Came out a few weeks ago.
Yeah, we're about 6 episodes in now. I don't know how long it's gonna go. It comes out every Thursday, but we just want to jump on it now.
Right.
So that we don't have to jump on it later.
And get it out of the way.
As soon as possible. But we did want to bring some ideas up about it and talk about what is going on with the show and the backlash specifically.
Right.
And who's to blame.
Yeah. And is it justified?
Yeah. That too.
Yes.
Before we get too far into our just impressions of Velma, how are we doing this week?
Not too bad.
Yeah.
Let me say that one more time. On Friday, I went out to LA to watch a show, live band performance.
Oh, nice.
A group called Dark Star.
Okay.
And they're essentially like a Grateful Dead kind of cover band
kind of
thing. Grateful Dead's been around since the 60s. Mm-hmm. They're still touring. I think there was, you know, the members of the band that are left are touring with, or I should say Michael Mayer is touring with them.
John Mayer.
Yeah, Michael? Yeah. I was trying to say Michael Myers. John Mayer, that guy.
Yeah, he was playing the guitar for him. Yeah.
So they're out doing that still, but they have a lot of bands that, that are cover bands essentially that kind of do their music. And Dark Star is one of them, and they're probably one of the better ones. And what they actually do is, and then again, this is the Grateful Dead community is they have a strong following.
Yeah.
They have them everywhere from, you know, young to old. Mm. It was funny being at that show. I saw people that were like in their, you know, early to mid 20s.
Yeah.
And people that were like 60, 70, you know, 80 on up, that kind of thing. Like one of the guys that we, you know, came in contact with was like, you know, in his 80s. Mm-hmm. So just a fan of the show for, or this group for a long time.
But yeah.
Yeah, the, what they actually do is they'll actually pick a specific show from whatever, like this particular show that they covered was from 1976. I want to say it was June or July, 1976, mm-hmm. a certain show. And that's the show they perform.
Oh, like they play, they're covering a live show.
Exactly. They said, this is what they did, and this is what we're going to do.
Nice.
And the fans love it.
That's kind of a cool idea.
Yeah, and they kind of mix their own thing into it as well. And the first set they did, I mean, it was just, these were all extremely good musicians.
Yeah, yeah.
And just watching them, listening to them kind of take one song, and as it merges into it, there's like a 5-minute interlude of just them playing the hell out of their song and this arrangement, and they're mixing it up and doing their own thing, and then it leads into another song. First set was great. The second set, they focused more on performing songs, and that was great too. So the whole show was fantastic.
Nice.
Again, live music is great to watch, period.
Mm.
But to see, you know, like 5, 6, 7 people on stage that are very good at their craft and they know what they're doing, it was amazing. I don't even know what to really compare it to is the thing. Like I said, they were playing songs, and it's just this, I don't know, this kind of, I don't want to, you know, say something like intangible kind of thing, but it was just this
nebulous experience.
Exactly. That's a way to put it. So it was a really good show. Really
nice.
Good show.
Very cool.
So, I don't even know if you could capture that on a CD or, you know,
yeah.
Let me explain what CDs are, kids. I know, but watching him live was amazing. It was a trip. It was amazing. It was a good time. Everybody was cool. You know, but it was a great show. Great show.
Nice. Yeah. Very cool.
What about you? Do anything?
I played hooky yesterday at work.
Ooh.
And nice. I went to LA yesterday. I checked out the Funko store in Hollywood.
Okay.
They got
a big Funko store?
Yes. Yeah,
or a Funko. Like specifically it's a Funko.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a Funko company store. It's huge. It's like huge. There's like all kinds of cool designs and stuff in there, like different like sections.
Yeah, that's gotta be like a fucking explosion of color.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's pretty cool. But I got to make my own Funko Pop.
Really?
I designed my own Funko that looks like me. Basically,
nice.
Yeah, he's in cargo shorts, like I always wear, like I'm wearing right now. There were a lot of choices for like clothes and stuff, but I just put like a t-shirt on it, and then like I'm carrying a camera and a comic book. So like my character.
That's me, straight up
my character.
That is dope.
Yeah, it's like $25, and you get to build your own Funko. You just build it on the screen, and then come back in 20 minutes, and they have it built for you.
Wow.
It's like in the Funko box, got your name on, whatever name you choose to put on there. It's pretty cool.
I think I was having that conversation with somebody. I don't know if maybe I was talking to you about it, but I think I was talking with somebody before, and they were saying that you can kind of do that at Funko.
Yeah, yeah.
So that is amazing.
Yeah,
that
it was
is amazing.
Like really cool. It was really, really fun. I had a lot of fun doing that. I didn't think, I'm not really a big Funko guy. Like I've never been a Funko guy, but like that was cool. That was pretty fun. That store was awesome. It was huge. Like I got to take pictures of like all the different Funkos.
Yeah.
Like there's like, I sat in like the chair opposite Greedo, took a picture of that. And so like, it's all,
and
like,
you can, I assume you could do anything. Like if you wanted to, or something's trademarked kind of thing. Like if you wanted to make a Spider-Man Funko yourself, like you have to do yourself kind of thing.
It's not like, you could kind of create like, there's not a lot of choices though. Like there's like one generic superhero costume. And there's one like generic, there's not like a lot of colors and stuff.
When, yeah.
Like, I thought there'd be more choices.
Right.
When we came to that, but it was just kind of cool to be able to create your own, you know, Funko character, which is pretty funny.
That's cool.
Then I went to Shake Shack right next door, the burger place. Pretty good burger.
Nice, nice.
Pretty fun. And then, I went to City Walk because we're gonna go to the Nintendo World next year or next month.
Okay,
it opens up. So we went there to like get some stuff. Can't talk about what it is yet until we actually go into the world. But yeah,
secrets.
Yeah, but we went to the Nintendo World store that's in City Walk, and that was pretty fun. Yeah. But then also on Friday night when I got off of work, I went to go see RJ and to pick up the power strip for our studio.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I literally stopped there just to pick it up. Dennis happens to be there. Shout out to Dennis.
Yay, Dennis.
And then we ended up hanging out till like 2 a.m.
Nice.
So I stayed there. We went to get some media tacos. Made a few drinks. Then we jammed a little bit.
Nice.
And then we played some Mario Kart until like 2:30 in the morning.
It's like going back to your youth.
Yeah, it's like an old, like a really, literally like an old hangout. Like we used to, us three used to hang out when we were in high school and college. So like we just like redid that and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's
cool. Yeah, so shout out to Dennis. Shout out to RJ.
Nice, Dennis with RJ. What's
good
up, time. Guys?
Yeah, we're going to try to get together a little more. When we can.
Yeah, man, as you should.
More than welcome to come play some Mario Kart with us.
Right on. Oh.
Super fun.
Nah. But nah, that's cool, man. I appreciate that. Yeah. That's cool, though, that you guys are able to, you guys should 100% spend some time hanging out and just kicking it. Just
being boys
and kicking it. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the reason why I would want you guys to do it. You know what I mean? Because you guys have that connection. You have that history. True. So.
I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
They're cool. But yeah, we're not.
You flipping a heartbeat, dude.
but no, you definitely should hang out with us one of these days. Man. I think you're having fun with us. Yeah, we are.
Right on. Yeah, no doubt.
We're a cool group of guys.
He said modestly.
If I can say so myself, yeah. Cool. Jump to some shouts.
Let's do a shout out.
Yeah, you have any shout outs?
No.
Neither do I.
Yeah. Usual suspects. I would give a shout out to my friends, Chris, Dave, that I hung out with on Friday night to watch the show.
Oh, yeah.
It was a good time. Again, very cool. My son is having a birthday coming up pretty soon, and his friends are coming down, so that'll be cool. CJ, what's up? Happy birthday. Not quite yet, but it's coming. So, that's about it for me.
Nice.
Other than the usual suspects.
Yeah. I just have one on Instagram. Another Day Greener. I think you're following us. I think it's a podcast.
Huh, interesting.
I'm not sure. I think it's an astrology podcast. So thanks for following
astrology.
Us.
Astrology?
Astrology, yeah.
Interesting.
And then shout out to my cousin Kenji for commenting on our page saying this is directed at me, but for some reason he put it on our Geek Out the Street page. He was like, listening to the Bleach episode now, I'm so proud of you for accepting your Japanese side and watching anime.
I tell him all the time.
Yeah.
I tell him all the time.
But
he uses it as a sword and a shield. whatever's convenient for him.
Yeah, yeah.
I use
what side works to my favor.
Whatever, exactly.
When I can. Yeah, that's all. But
very opportunistic.
Yeah, but exactly. Exactly. Otherwise, thank you guys for responding. If you guys want to check us out on Instagram and Facebook, YouTube, TikTok. We're on Twitter sometimes.
Right. And all our followers and listeners, we thank you. Love you.
Yeah, as always. Yeah, thank you for checking us out, listening to us. It's a big deal. And if you like us that much, you can leave a comment on or you can leave a review on Apple Podcasts and a rating on Spotify.
Yes.
Those things really help us a lot, more than you know, and it takes like 2 seconds.
It makes us feel good.
Yeah. Well, that too. It validates us, but also it helps with our podcast growth.
With the number
stuff. Yeah, all that stuff. The algorithm, as they say.
You know what's sad is like I don't. Personally, don't care that much about the whole. I know that's the game we have to play.
Yeah,
doing a podcast, doing anything on the internet, which is funny. I just think if I ever found myself in an opportunity or in a situation, I should say, not an opportunity, where I'm doing it by myself or whatever. Like I'm going to murder Trent.
It's the last.
It's the opportunity.
Yeah, speaking of which, this is my last episode.
That's true. Yeah, I think I couldn't do it. And everybody does that. Everything on YouTube, podcast, show, blah, blah, blah. They're always, don't forget to like, subscribe.
Yeah.
I think I would intentionally not do it. Yeah.
That's true. I'm going to go ahead and say that's all I care about is our growth podcast. So, and I don't like begging for views or begging for subscribers. That I don't like.
Yeah.
But it's like at the same time, it's part of the game. Yeah. To have the growth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if there's other ways to do it, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
You know? But otherwise, please like and subscribe and share our podcast.
Just right into it.
But I got what you're saying though.
Necessary evil.
Yep.
I get it.
Anyways, you get into some Velma talk here then?
Let's talk about Velma.
So we're gonna get into some Velma. If you guys don't know about it, it's the new series, basically the new, I don't know, the retcon of Scooby-Doo, the Scooby Gang.
A little bit.
I guess, minus Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, Scooby-Doo is not in it, but is supposed to take place, or is supposed to be, so to speak, the founding of the Mystery Inc. team, and centers around Velma.
Mm-hmm.
And according to this show, Velma was the one that got the group together and blah, blah, blah.
She's the actual leader.
Right. Yeah. All this kind of stuff. So yeah, she's basically trying to solve the mystery. There's a couple mysteries she's trying to solve. There's this one, you know, overlying thing in the background of her trying to find her mom that disappeared when she was a child. But there are teenage girls that are being murdered on this show, and they're trying to figure out, you know, who did it and why, all that kind of
and how great stuff that maybe ties in possibly whatever.
Possibly to her mom as well. And it's a very convoluted story slash mystery. But so it's Velma, and she's, everybody's got some weird little character quirks.
There's Fred's involved.
Yeah.
Not really Shaggy, but they use that. Shaggy's actually actual real name, which is normal.
I think that, I don't know if there's some truth to that. I thought I remember hearing at one point in time that Shaggy, I mean, Shaggy actually has a real name kind of thing.
The first time I heard it was in one of the Scooby-Doo movies in the 90s.
Okay.
I think, I don't remember which movie it was, but he meets a girl that he likes. So he's like kind of like dumbfounded.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, what's your name? And he's like, Norville. And I was that's a real name. No wonder you go by Shaggy.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm not sure how far back that goes, his actual first name, his real name is, but you know. I'm pretty sure Shaggy isn't his real name.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I would agree.
Then we have Fred and Daphne. And all the peeps.
Yep.
You know? And basically, showing how the Mystery Gang got together.
Right.
Yeah. And they take a lot of liberties with these characters. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if this is like a reboot or this is like a canonical retcon. But it's different from what first of all, it's for a mature audience, it's not for kids.
Yeah,
that's the first one. And then secondly, everything's different.
I know Mindy Kaling, everybody probably remembers her from The Office. She wasn't in it that much, but she was one of the writers for
the show. She's one of the writers of The Office, which you can't take anything away from.
Right, 100%. Yeah, show. If you've got that on your resume, then that's...
Yeah, and the list of episodes that she has written specifically, some of them are pretty good. Some of them are some of the better episodes, too. Uh-huh. So like, there's not, you know... She has an ability. She had an ability on The Office.
You're all she had.
She has. I didn't watch her show, the Mindy Show.
Yeah,
I think I watched the Kaling
Project.
Mindy Project. I watched a few episodes here and there. I don't know that I cared for it. The few things that I saw, and then you know I've seen her in a number of things that just whatever. You know, whatever. It's not her fault, but she was in the first episode of when Always Sunny in Philadelphia started to tank for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like that whole season after, was very progressive.
She might be innocent in that situation. Unless she was writing on it or something, which is a possibility.
But
we'd have to look at the credits on that. She's just going in there as an actor.
Definitely not to blame, but like that was the first episode of the season. And I always feel like associate that with the things that she touch become kind of.
Yeah, kind of like what people are saying about Jared Leto and any superhero comic book franchise.
Right. Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Exactly. Yeah, same thing, which isn't the truth. But, But so she is an executive producer on this show.
Right.
And she voices the Velma as well.
And the biggest thing, the glaring thing, and I remember the first time I saw this in the like a little screenshot or whatever of it, I thought, that looks awfully dark. That seems awfully weird. But Velma in this is she's
like Indian, Indian descent, Middle Eastern, of Indian descent.
Mm-hmm.
Daphne is now Asian. She's an Asian
person,
with two gay moms.
Right. Shaggy is black, and I guess maybe he's mixed because his father is white. I'm assuming this is biological father.
Mm.
Mother is black, and then Fred is
like it was super rich entitled idiot.
Yeah, he's a rich entitled idiot man child, right? That apparently has not gone through puberty.
Right, right.
As they say, it has a small dick, essentially.
Yeah, that's the
They're just like, whatever insult we can dump on him,
we'll put on Fred. We're gonna flip him completely around instead of being the leader and the you know, the likable white male.
Right, right.
They're gonna make him the worst.
Do that nowadays.
Yeah, they make him the worst, like the worst character. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So yeah, there's a lot of changes to the characters, like ethnically, orientation wise,
everything.
Yeah, everything was changed. There's a lot to unpack about the show, but was there anything specifically that you thought
that I liked about it?
Yeah.
Well, here's a couple of things that I did like. Was every once in a while I would see some sort of nod to the original Scooby-Doo Where Are You show.
Yeah.
Like the way the show started when they did their intro title shot or whatever, like these bats flew across the screen and that was how it started. Right.
Yeah.
So they kind of did a nod to that, you know, when they're in the, you know, in that cave or whatever, they kind of show the bats flying across the screen kind of in a similar style.
Yeah.
So I did see these little nods here and there. I saw little nods to the quote unquote ghosts that they, you know, dealt with.
Yeah,
in the show,
kind of just like, oh, I'm never going to be in a theme park solving a mystery.
Exactly. Yeah. Little things like that.
Yeah. There was a poster in the background of Daphne's house. Mm. It had like the Hex girls, those three girls that were from one of the movies. They're like in a band.
Oh, okay.
Like, that was in the background. I saw that. I was cool. That's the Hex girls from the,
Okay. So they kind of did a nod even to some of the later stuff that came afterwards. Okay. That's cool. Everything, like the stuff that I was, you know, noticing, again, went back to the original show kind of thing. So that's kind of cool. They kind of...
Yeah, I think it might have been one of the movies in the 90s. There's a big explosion. I liked Scooby-Doo when I was a kid a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That might have been like the Zombie Island one in the 90s or like the Witch's Ghost or something. Yeah.
That's cool though. I'm glad they did.
So that's kind of cool. They're doing some...
And one other thing that I liked too was the sheriff that's in that town... He clearly looks like Don Knotts. Don Knotts...
Yeah.
Hopefully everybody knows who he is, but anyone that's younger, Don Knotts was an actor. He always typically did comedic roles.
Yeah.
He was fantastic. He's funny. He's hilarious. Yeah. He is hilarious. And like everything I've seen him in, it's been great.
Yeah.
And then that was kind of the thing about Scooby-Doo. Like I think in the 70s, they started to do like they had quote unquote guest stars.
Yeah. There was a different series of Scooby-Doo that was like, with special guests. Like Robin, there was Sandy Duncan.
It was hilarious.
Yeah.
And Don Knotts.
Yeah. Don Knotts. Yeah. Don Knotts was in a couple episodes too.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very silly. I mean, that was kind of, I don't know, that was like the 70s and TV. So they kind of mimicked it. That was funny. But yeah, so he was kind of in it, you know, so that was cool that I liked. Every once in a while, they, you know, there were maybe like a couple of like jokes that I kind of like smirked about.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if they ever like laughed, unfortunately, but there were a couple times I thought, okay, that was pretty, that was okay.
Yeah,
that was
cool.
But, yeah, I'm trying to think some other likes about the show. I'm drawing a blank right now.
Yeah,
I'm not drawing a blank. I think that's about
that's probably it. Yeah, I'll say the same there. I do appreciate that they were trying to flip things on its head. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like there was a plan to go that route, right? To make kind of all the typical tropes of like horror or of mainstream media of like typecasting and that kind of, they tried to flip that. And I was like, I would see it here and there like, okay, that's pretty funny. Yeah. Of course, protect all the hot girls, you know, only protect the hot girls. Cause they're the ones that are going to die or whatever. You know, I was like, that's true. That is a trope that's overused that, you know, isn't necessarily great.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see that like how stupid some of the people are because of that. And I was I could see them trying to do that. And like, I appreciate the approach, not the approach, but like, I appreciate the idea of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, it came off as like She-Hulk to me. Like very oh, we're so self-aware.
Yeah.
We're so meta. We're so poking fun of all this. And then we're also going to poke fun at what people are going to say about this, because we're such higher thinkers than you people are. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it comes off as like, no, like you are. That's not how it's coming across. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So as it stands, the show is is being rated as like the worst show. Rated on like Rotten Tomatoes, like a 6% with audience and like a 1.3 on IMDb.
Yeah, which makes no sense. That's like how it's impossible to be that low.
Right. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Statistically.
Right.
Possibly rated that low. Mm. And it's one of the lowest rated shows, I think, ever.
Yeah.
So do you think like that's like accurate?
Well, yeah, I think everything that they're doing, doing it too much, and they're doing it. It's been done to death.
Yeah.
Again, with the whole, you know, stupid white guy, smart, unattractive girl. That whole thing's been done to death. I think it is, unfortunately, it is justified just because the show is more boring, I suppose, than anything else. It's not done very well, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah.
One thing that I will kind of say in defense of the show is, and maybe this, you know, should come up later, but everyone probably knows about the show already, and they know everybody's dumping on it.
Yeah.
And when I listen to other, you know, comments or even things online that they're, you know, they're talking about and they're trying to dismantle it, saying, oh, these are teenagers that are doing this and, you know, whatever, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that is kind of they're kind of ganging up on it a little bit, because clearly it's a cartoon, and clearly a lot of these, you know, dumb things they're saying in the situations aren't meant to be taken seriously. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There are shows that, you know, that feature kids doing worse things.
Mm-hmm.
Like Big Mouth is, to me, Big Mouth is hilarious. I love Big Mouth on Netflix. Definitely not for kids. But it is, there is a point to what they're doing on Big Mouth, even though it's very vulgar, it's very raunchy. And it's one of those weird things that, I don't know, kids almost should watch it so they don't deal with the shame and, you know, the awkwardness of growing up. But at the same time, kids don't need to watch it. So maybe parents could watch it and maybe be cognitive of that when they're dealing with kids.
Yeah.
But everything that they did, it was funnier, and it was with a purpose. There's not much of a purpose in what they're doing in Velma.
Yeah.
Other than, again, you know, kind of shitting on the white male.
Mm.
They're changing everybody around. It's almost like they're doing it just to do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if like what the idea was behind the show to begin with.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Did someone – well, here's – again, like Scooby-Doo's been around since the 70s. So it's a very old franchise. And every once in a while you'll see these shows where they're, you know, like John Cena or WWE stars will be on the show. You know, they'll do things and they have movies that still come out. So maybe – I think they're just trying to find a way to, you know, milk this franchise as best they can. It's like a Members Berry things, right?
Yeah.
It's been around for such a long time. How can we – squeeze something out of it? So they're going for the retcon route this. It's the whole thing is done so poorly, unfortunately, and they're trying so hard. Like you said, they're trying so hard to be meta. They're trying to be inclusive. You know, for certain groups anyway. I don't even know what to even say. They're trying too hard, and it doesn't work, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. No, I 100% agree, man. I think that they're really kind of going about it as like as we need to shit on the people groups that have shit on us kind of thing.
Right,
which is not the way to do it. Because now it's just like Velma just not likable. She's not a likable lead.
Yeah.
She's mean. She's, you know, she's like
completely selfish, right?
Very selfish, yeah. And very, I think I'm better than everybody kind of person. And kind of like one of those there's more to it, but it's kind of like, oh, I'm going to hate hot people because they're hot. You know what I mean?
I'm not
traditionally hot, but that shouldn't be a problem. I should still be considered attractive. I should be to everybody. You know, it's like, that's not, you can't force that. You know what I mean? There's, I don't know. I don't want to come up as like, if you're not hot, you're not hot, but that's not what I mean. But what I mean is like, it's a very like, I got to, I gotta change. It should be different, so I'm gonna be shitty because it's not different. You know what I mean? It's not going, you know, or something like that.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, I should be found attractive because of my personality and my intellect and all this other kind of thing. So
and in a lot of ways, it shouldn't be. It should be that way, right?
I get it. I get it.
It should be that way, but like.
I mean,
but at the same time, you can't be. It's like you can't be shitty to people because of they're physically attractive or because that kind of thing. It's like, oh, you're just. It came off as really like you're shitty too. You're also not a good person. You know what I mean? So like, I don't like anybody in this show.
And again, like we were saying too about like it's kind of reminiscent of She-Hulk. It felt like with both these shows, the writers were trying to. Trying to vent something from their past. They were trying to get something out of their system that they have felt for like a long time. And they were, and this was their opportunity to address it. Kind of thing. And it's so, I don't know, obvious. Like at one point, you know, again, Velma, she's not the attractive one. She feels like she's awkward or whatever. She is into Fred for whatever reason. Like at first on the surface, he was like the good looking guy.
Yeah.
The more you find out about him, the more she found out about him. It's like, how can you still be attracted to him?
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, like to move the story along, she still is. So then what happens at some point, Fred becomes attracted to her.
Yeah.
But now she doesn't like him. And now she kind of shoots him down. It was almost like, again, this was something like she was. And I'm kind of putting it on Mindy Kaling, I suppose, but it's almost like her or the writers were venting something, or this is what they would have liked to have happened. They would have liked for the hot guy to be into them, and then they dismiss him I'm not into you anymore. So it kind of elevates her, her character. It makes her seem like she's this cool alpha, you know, whatever. Which again, she unfortunately she's not, because she's not very likable. She is very. Selfish. It is kind of like again, the whole She-Hulk thing was very, the shows are different, but there's a similar
feel to it.
There's a similar feel.
Like the sense of humor. Like it wasn't clever. Like it wasn't good. Really trying to be too on the nose, too matter of fact. And I was like, this is like not well written. You know what I mean? It's not, funny. It's kind of dumb.
Yeah. That's the real bad thing about the show is when everything is said and done, unfortunately, it's just not very well written.
Yeah.
That's what everything boils down to. Even like when they're moving the quote, they're moving this mystery along.
Yeah.
Things just kind of drop in their lap. Like they want to tell this crazy, I don't know, girls are better than guys or, you know, regular girls are better than hot girls and hot girls shouldn't be whatever. And there's this episode where all this is going on. Then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, I don't remember what it is right now, Velma's thrown into a police car and then Shaggy's parents are right there with her. She's like, oh, I'm going to picture you guys dressed like this. And she's like, oh, okay. Don't show that picture and come to my office and I'll reveal another step in the mystery. It was like there's no real mystery going on. There's no story. There's no clues to follow. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, a ridiculous premise.
And then
at the end of the episode, here's something to
get to the,
to go to the next episode. Here's something to, you know, pursue the mystery kind of thing. So it's not written.
Yeah. It's not well. The storylines aren't well, the characters aren't likable and it's not funny.
Right.
So it's all around. Like, I'll keep going back to like Always Sunny. None of the characters are likable. They're all bad people.
All of them
are bad people. They're all horrible people. Mm-hmm. But the show is very funny.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like, you can get, you got to have something in there.
Yeah.
You got to have something of substance in there. And if you don't have one thing of substance in there, it's not going to be good at all. You know
right. It's like, it's not going to be entertaining to watch. And it's not entertaining, unfortunately. You're seeing. Yeah. And then you're seeing a miserable character.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. The whole thing seems like it's just about her, this average person being able to, I don't even know if that's like mean to say, but this average person being at the top of the pyramid, because by the time everything's said and done, she's, you know, obviously going to be the, you know, the superhero.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that solved everything, did everything and, you know, proved that she's better than everybody else just by, you know, her being her.
Yeah.
Kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. Does it deserve a 1.3 on IMDb? I don't know. I mean, I've probably have seen worse things. I mean, I imagine. I mean,
I can't think of too much I've seen.
I mean, I think I still like She-Hulk less. I really don't like She-Hulk at all. Mm-hmm. That's kind of weird to put them two in the same category though, because they're so similar to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, but it's not good though. It's not a good show. And I think for the creators to expect that something like this would do well, I think they don't have a presence of mind to understand that, like, if you come in this heavy handed,
You're going to turn people away.
Yeah, no one's going to. Yeah. Like, and it's proven that, you know, and, you know, obviously there needs to be a change in some ways for some things. And I get it. But like, to come in this, like, with this attitude of I'm shitting on you because you've shit on me, and this is how it needs to be, so I'm going to force this, and now everyone needs to change their way of thinking, and we're going to be very aggressive about it.
Yeah,
that's not the way to go about it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so now there's just a ton of pushback. Everybody hates the show, and I can't imagine this show sticking around much longer.
Yeah, I mean, there was an article that came out a while ago where they were talking about a second season of Velma. So that. I don't know. They might get viewers because if it's hated so much or because it's so disliked, people might tune in to be like, what are they going to do now? Kind of thing.
I see. Yeah.
And I'm sure it'll get you can go on the internet. You can find all sorts of people commenting on it. So in a sense, they're kind of getting what they want. You know, the whole concept
I guess they're getting press.
Bad publicity.
Yeah.
Is good publicity. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
bad publicity is good.
And I wouldn't have watched the show if we didn't come up with the idea to talk about it because of the response it's getting. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have watched it, I don't think.
Right.
So we gave them a view, you know, you and I.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We added their viewership, you know, by going because it was so bad. So
right. I mean, and I would have watched it. At least I would have watched the first episode, and then I saw how weird it was. Mm-hmm. Then I probably would have stopped at that point after watching the first one, maybe the second would be like, am I seeing this right? Is this real?
Yeah, yeah.
I probably would have seen the first two episodes, at least given them that, and then been like, okay, there's nothing really redeeming about this show.
Yeah, yeah.
And they try to slip in these little nuggets of, you know, do the right thing and this is wrong and this is right and people should be judged fairly. You know what I mean? But just because you slip in a line amongst all this other nonsense, all this other BS.
Yeah.
It's not enough to save this show. It's not enough to make it redeemable.
Yeah.
And again, they're not really saying anything that hasn't been said, 100 times before. And right now kind of said to death, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, I don't know what the concept was behind the show originally. Were they is this the route they wanted to go? Were they looking to, because I saw some, I guess they put out some of the sketches or whatever for what some of these characters look like in a concept thing.
Yeah.
And they're kind of doing the same thing where, again, Velma has a darker complexion. You know, Shaggy is black, but the character, the artwork isn't quite as bad.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
I mean, it looks better. So I don't know if they're going to take it a different direction. If, in my opinion, if you're going to do something like this where you're going to make all the characters that different, you know, Velma's going to be Indian, Shaggy's going to be black, then don't do this, again, this heavy-handed, you know, whatever wokeness
thing. Yeah.
Just get some better writing and just make a whole new show.
Mm.
You could say it is. You could call this person Velma, Fred, whatever, but just maybe write a good show with teenagers. You know? In the original Scooby-Doo, like, there was never any, I mean, obviously it came out in the 70s or whatever.
Yeah.
There was never any, they were all essentially equal on that show. I mean, Fred was kind of looked at as the de facto leader.
Yeah.
But I think that's more because that's what the viewers did.
There
was never in that show, there was never any Fred's in charge, Velma's in charge. They all kind of had their moments to shine a little bit. You know, Velma was clearly like, she seemed like she was the smart one, the brainiac one. And again, I think all the stuff that we assumed about the show or we kind of thought is going on is what the audience did. And the audience being kids, that's what we did.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a kid, I just kind of assumed Fred and Daphne were kind of a thing because they were the, you know, quote unquote, the young hot ones or whatever. Like I said, everything is what we put on the show, but there was never any sort of, nobody ever said like Fred's in charge or Thelma's in charge or whatever the case may be. It's all stuff that, that we put on the show.
Right. Right. That makes sense.
So yeah, if you're going to do it, if you're going to, you know, do a big retcon like this, just if you're going to do it, I wouldn't lean into the, clearly wouldn't lean into this whole woke thing, but
yeah,
that's the easy way to go, right? The the artwork is very simple.
Yeah, yeah.
In the show, right? And then the concepts are doing are very simple as well. These are all easy targets, basically. Yeah, yeah. This it's easy to, you know, white guy bad, you know, girl in love with girl kind of thing, lesbian moms and blah blah blah. It's at this point it's very cliche.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And it's done to death, and it unfortunately, again, it doesn't work at all.
So. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I agree 100%, man.
Disappointing, man. Disappointing.
Yeah, it's a bummer. And then, I don't know how you make a show, a Scooby-Doo show without Scooby-Doo, you know what I mean?
Like, right. Yeah. Well, in that last episode, they do mention Scooby, like some weird acronym for something. It's
some
like
kind of experiment.
Are we supposed to be impressed that you did this?
Yeah,
oh, like, thanks. Nobody cared. Yeah,
thanks for throwing in a reference.
That's so clever.
Yeah.
That's what Scooby actually means. Yeah, and then
like Velma was like, "Oh, well, what did Scooby do?" I was like, "Oh,
I get you.
That's why I'm smacking him right there. Yeah.
Right.
yeah, but I don't know. I was pretty bummed out. Pretty bummed out on the show. I was not.
I don't think anybody's even asked. Like, who asked for a retcon of Scooby Doo?
Yeah,
like nobody. Wants to see that or cares about that. And again, like if you're gonna do it, then really do it. Make it a bunch of, you know, kids that are getting together and they're solving mysteries. And if you really want to be clever, don't put any of that shit in there.
Yeah.
Don't put any of the, you know, stupid white whatever. You got to have, you know, the whatever gay, lesbian, whatever thing going on. Just have them being kids solving crimes.
Yeah.
If you really want to be controversial, if you really want to be clever, do that.
Because that could even have like, you know, whatever big response, you know. Who knows. But the white man is the problem theme is getting a little old, you know. I get it, you know. I'm not white.
Why don't you got us out here defending, man? That used to be my whole shtick. I used to be able to love, like, I get to pick on you guys or whatever. Now I can't do it anymore. You took it away from me.
So I mean,
that's a joke, you idiot.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't. Maybe I'm not an activist type person. Maybe I'm not a person who's really gonna try to go out there and evoke change and try to I go to work, I get paid, and I do the things I enjoy in the evening, and like that's my thing. Like I'm not a guy that's gonna be on the front lines of the social revolution.
Right.
So. But when this is in my, and when I enjoy media, like my thing to consume media, to watch shows, to watch movies, when this agenda is thrown in my face, it kind of turns me off of it. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Well, you know what I mean? I don't, like I said, I actually have never like been out on a picket line or anything like that. But I'm a huge proponent for change. Right? I like seeing people that are activists. I like seeing people that are out there fighting for the underdog and doing that kind of thing. I love that. And again, like I said, like you were saying, I've never been out there doing it, but I do want it to happen. And I do want there to be essentially representation, you know, in TV. I want it all across the board, but I think you have to be smart about it. You have to do it the right way. We talked about Miles Morales and just different characters. There's a way to introduce If you do want to promote this, or if you just want to be more fair, more inclusive, there's a smart way to do it other than taking old characters, setting them on fire, and then propping up these new things that are out there. And I think, again, there's a smart way to do it, even in media. Like I think Stan Lee was one of the best ones to do it. Like in the 60s, he put out a comic book called Black Panther.
Right.
When the Black Panthers were probably scaring half, you know, the country out there, he puts out a story called Black Panther about a black king. And he defeats, like in his debut, he defeats the most popular comic book characters, the Fantastic Four, in his debut.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that's really like putting him on the map. Mm-hmm. He puts out a comic book about a teenager. You know, teenagers are a bunch of, you know, effing hippies and beatniks. Beatniks, that's going back. That's going back, everybody.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're a bunch of, you know, no good, you know, whatever, whatever. And he puts out a story about a teenager that's taking on responsibilities and being a superhero and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So there is a way to do it.
Yeah, there's a way to be progressive and do it well. You know,
and
what
do
I mean?
It well.
Yeah. Yeah, I got this is probably the 10th time I've said this, but like Shang-Chi, I did not feel represented as an Asian American man. This show is like, hey, look at us. We respect Asians. Hey, we want to show you what we think Asian people are like. Uh-huh. Hey, we want to show you what it's like to be an Asian person in America. Yeah. Like, I felt like it was an agenda. It wasn't like, this wasn't a genuine, hey, let's really try to understand
right,
the culture.
Right.
But like,
look at us.
Yeah, look at us. Look at us. We have Asian friends. That's what it sounded like to me. And that's like my time when I lived in Seattle, it was so much like, oh, look how many gay friends I have. Look how many black friends I have. Well, look how many gay black friends I have. And it was just like, it was just like that. I was like, that's why I couldn't really get into like the causes and what, because some of us are like, are you guys genuine or do you want to show how many, you know,
right.
ethnic friends you have?
You just want to show how great you are.
Exactly. Kind of so thing. Like,
I didn't really
respond well to Shang-Chi because that wasn't the right way to do it to me. Like, but like a show like Kim's Convenience, which coincidentally has Simu Lee in it. That was a very good show of an Asian family running a convenience store. You know,
yeah,
I was like, oh yeah, that kind of seems like some of the friends I had. I had a friend that had his family had a burger shop when they were kids or when they were younger, and there was like, it was like a Chinese family, and it was like, I could see that. I could see the similarities. And I was like, oh, this makes sense.
Yeah.
But like getting a character like Daphne, making her Asian, making an Asian person play her, and that's representation.
Right.
No, that's just, you're just.
Yeah. Even Daphne's gay parents are played by Wanda Sykes and Jane Lynch.
Yeah. Right.
You guys are like, you're trying way too hard. And then like one of her gay parents is black, Wanda Sykes. And then it's like, calm down.
Yeah.
Calm down.
Right, yeah.
If you like, I get it, man. Like, if you really want to do it, do it well, or don't do it.
Don't do it at all. Yeah,
don't do it, because then it turns into a big FU to everybody.
Right. Yeah.
To the people you're trying to reach out to, or not even reach out to, the people you're trying to stick it in their face.
Yeah, yeah.
You're basically insulting them, and the people you think you are representing, it's an insult to them as well. It's just it's all across the board.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And I think, and even like, man, even like going back to that, like you don't have it is like. You don't have to be a specific ethnicity to be like, what am I trying to say here? Like, I grew up in a neighborhood that was, everybody was like a Mexican neighborhood.
Yeah.
Except for me and my family. My dad, my mom, we're an Asian black family in that neighborhood. Everybody else was Mexican. Every other house on the whole block.
Yeah.
So I feel like if I made a show or a movie that had like some like touch on the Mexican culture, I feel like I'd have a better idea than someone who was raised in Beverly Hills, a Mexican guy raised in Beverly Hills. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
I feel like I would have a better idea. So like to take some Asian dude from wherever he is from to direct Shang-Chi, just because he's Asian, doesn't mean it's gonna have an Asian feel because everybody's Asian. Like, no, that's not how you do it. That's not the right way to do it. You get to get people who have the actual experience. You know
right,
I mean?
Agreed.
So I don't know.
That makes sense. That completely makes sense.
So it doesn't come off as genuine to me, I think. And so Velma is very much so not genuine. Hey, this person's Asian, they can play this Asian character.
Exactly. Yeah,
this person's Indian, they can play that Indian character.
Right.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I
think, and that's the reason why is that the reason why they had to have Velma be Asian? Because they're going to have, or, you know, I forget the term for it. But I mean, if you're Indian, it's considered Asian. But
true.
That, like, that's the reason why you have to have Mindy player, or because you had Mindy playing her, you had to turn Velma into that.
Yeah. True that. Also the same. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, how good was Robert Downey Jr. as Sergeant Lincoln Osiris?
I'm the dude.
If that was an animated cartoon and he did the voice for it, I don't know. I wouldn't know. I don't think.
Right. Yeah.
I feel like, man, there's this great show called Con Man that Alan Tudyk did. I think I talked about it before, where it's basically about his life, like after Firefly. Like, what's his name? Does really well.
Nathan Fillion.
Nathan Fillion does really well, and he's the character in the show that's like that got really famous after their space show, and then he's kind of just doing conventions, and like that's why it's called Con Man. He just goes to conventions.
I see.
It's like his life, and there's one episode where like so he had done a voice actor role like way in the past, and he played a black character called Rigamarole, and there's an episode about people finding out that he was Rigamarole, and a bunch of people were like, "Oh, this is racist," and there's like a black guy that was like, "Man, your work as Rigamarole changed my life, man." And so he's like defending him. It was really funny. And at the time, that was probably 2012 or 2013, so wasn't quite as big as it is now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's like a funny idea, you know. When they casted Scarlett Johansson as the main character in Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah.
And like everybody in America was like, that's racist. And then like they went to Japan and like interviewed people in Japan.
Yeah.
Like, what do you feel about Scarlett Johansson playing the character in Ghost in the Shell? And they're like, oh, she's a lovely actress. We love her.
Right.
It's like, why are you guys getting mad for a reason? Yeah. I don't know. So I don't know.
Clearly something's broken out here. Right.
Yeah. So I don't know where I'm going with that. But the thing is that there's a lot of like overcompensation, a lot of like what people think is the right way.
Yeah. And it's the wrong people that are thinking like, this is what we need to do or this is what we should do. And
right. Yeah.
I don't know. Or they're hearing people, you know what I mean? If we were to stand up and start saying, you know, I'll say you, I can back you up.
No, thanks.
If you were saying, I need people that are 3/4 something and we need representation. If you had a group of people that made a little bit of noise about that, all of a sudden you would see, you know what I mean? Hollywood trying to pander to that.
Or you'll find a 3/4 Asian guy, quarter black guy. Or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, we if you make enough stink, then someone's going to be like, oh, we need to represent this or we need to do this. And it's not that big a deal.
Yeah, I agree. At the end of the day, man, I just want to be moved or entertained by media.
Yeah.
That's what it always boils down to. Right, yeah. And there's... I don't know. When you try to overcompensate and be like, this is what you need.
Yeah. I don't want to see more, especially when I was a kid. It wasn't that I wanted to see more black characters on TV or in animation. I wanted to see more good black characters in TV and animation. You know, because they always had like the token, the police chief is black. Mm. To show that, oh, there's a black guy that's in charge. He's not going to be in the show much. But, you know, we're giving that to you.
You know what I mean?
You can see that in all kinds of 80s. Cop movies or TV shows, there's that know, there's a black chief, and you know he's basically stick in the mud too. You know, he might be kind of cool because he's black. He might do something like, you go, whoever you are, you did it.
Yeah.
You know, but and I would imagine probably people from different communities probably feel the same way. Like it is not so much that don't just throw an Asian person in there and then they're comic relief, or, you know, they're stumbling around like an idiot or they're useless the entire time. And then maybe at one point they ask one good question or they show up, you know, with one thing to help the main character be the hero. Just put out decent characters.
Put out
decent stories. That's the trick.
Yeah,
that's the trick. I just solved it for you.
And I feel like it's not really a trick.
It's not at all.
It's simple.
It's common sense.
Yeah, it's really just like strip it down. Like, this is really what good quality is.
Right.
Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Very simple. Yeah.
It's not about being seen. It's being seen well.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, do I want more Asian superheroes? Sure. Do I want a Japanese superhero? That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That'd be cool. But, I mean... At the end of the day, though, I don't want a bad Japanese character.
Right. Yeah. And I don't want to see, like, Iceman from the X-Men. I don't want to see him turn Japanese.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, he's Japanese now. Right.
Like, it's like, what? Yeah. What? Bobby's been Japanese the whole time? Yeah, come on.
Bobby Drake?
Yeah, Bobby Drake has been Japanese the whole time? Come on. Yeah.
What? I don't know, guys.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, if they had turned Peter Parker into a half black, half Puerto Rican, he was half black, half Puerto Rican the whole time.
Was he though?
Just create something new and write a good story for it.
Yeah. Those are the two things. New character, but good new character.
Good new character with a good new story.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. They clearly don't have the guts to write.
Yeah.
They don't want to take the chance. Like with all this junk that's happened with Velma, they took some old, you know, obviously they took some old established characters and just kind of put them out there, as opposed to maybe making a group of, you know, again, like I was saying, like a whole new group of teens.
Yeah.
And have them solve mysteries or whatever. Instead of doing that, they decided to, you know, bank on their name.
Yeah, yeah.
And just F it up and do some very lazy writing. And it's easier to do that.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
easier to do that than to take a chance on something that's, you know, maybe nobody knows about. But then you have to bring it. You have to actually write something decent or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it's easier to, for them anyway, to do that.
Take these ones out. Yeah. 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 I don't know. Yeah. It's kind of a bummer. I was reading back in the 2012-ish, 2016, I think 2016, 2017, when Rebirth's coming out, they did a new Superman series. Superman's like one of my favorites. I read Superman all the time. Mm-hmm. Love Superman. And then they did a Chinese Superman.
Huh?
It's like a Superman from China. Like this new kid who's from, he lives in China, and he's also Superman now. He got some Superman powers. And then
was he from Krypton?
No. He just got like experimented on. Okay, and he became Superman of China. And then they had like a Justice League of China. And then like even there's like this reporter named Lonnie Ling or something. That was basically
stars and garters.
Basically, essentially, it was I don't know what DC was doing with it. Like I was reading it for a while and I was like, Chinese Superman, Asian Superman, cool, I guess. And then whatever, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Not good. So yeah, so even like for me, yeah, if I want to, we're just going in circles now, but like, you just create like my favorite character, Superman.
Yeah.
Let's make a Chinese guy.
Right.
With a bad story with the other Justice League members that are also like, there's like a Batman, but he's Chinese, and like a Wonder Woman, she's Chinese. And
yeah, it's
like,
yeah.
Don't
do it.
Yeah, don't do it. Yeah.
And again, I think with Velma too, this is kind of going back a little bit. I think I wouldn't take it too seriously. That's maybe another positive about the show.
Yeah.
I'm hoping, and I don't think it's going to be like this is officially the story
is Scooby-Doo now.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the
yeah.
mystery and gang.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I think this is just, I would just look at this as a one-off kind of thing. And I think I was telling somebody else, or I mentioned before, like they had a show, a pup named Scooby-Doo in the day.
Yeah,
we said it on the show last time. It was a fun show, right? I don't look at that as that's the authentic
Scooby-Doo,
of how they met and got together did whatever.
You know
what I mean? It was just that one thing.
Yeah, because even that show just started with them as kids hanging out, solve mysteries.
Right.
Like, you wouldn't know, even then, you don't know how they met. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that show was much better than this, than Bellman's, by the way. So go check out a pup named Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
But, again, I don't take it that seriously. Mm. Or I don't take it like this is the new whatever. I just look at it as just kind of a one-off, dismiss it. And I'm hoping that if they were to make movies in the future or maybe even more
Scooby-Doo
like it's not gonna series. Be that like this isn't that. Gonna be
this
you
is
know
the definitive Scooby-Doo now
exactly yeah. exactly
and I, but going back to that I hope they're not taking themselves too seriously either
because
if what they thought if this was a serious like this is a very serious we're gonna change society we're gonna really be a voice
we're gonna do with comedy know but we're gonna slip in some real stuff
that's make
we're
people also
think.
The voice of the people they hope you guys weren't taking that as serious too because then there's a misstep there
I honestly don't see how they could, but you never know.
Yeah.
Yeah, the show, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I don't work in Hollywood, so I guess I wouldn't know either. But Anyways. That's probably, is that going to be it for Velma?
Yeah,
are we done talking about
this
crap?
Let's wrap it up.
Are we in anything this week before we wrap it up?
Let's see. So watching Bad Batch, One Piece. I watched the Disney, not all of it, but Disney has the new National Treasure
show.
I watched that
because I know we were fun of last week.
All three of us were together and we were making some predictions about the show.
Yeah, some predictions that we can't probably put on the podcast without us getting canceled.
Yeah, I know. You're right. Immediately.
Yeah,
but it wasn't that bad. It wasn't great. It wasn't really, really good.
Yeah.
But I did watch, like, I want to say, like, maybe three episodes.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't, maybe four, actually. I'm not sure.
It wasn't as agenda-y as we thought it was going
to
be?
It was not. Yeah, I thought there was going to be a big agenda, and we were like, oh, this is going to be that. That's going to be that. It's not in there. One of the actors is really bad in it.
Oh, okay.
Like, sucks a lot.
Which one was on? Do you remember which one was on the picture?
He was the younger. Well, they're all around the same age, I suppose. But I don't know if he was maybe white or Hispanic, black hair.
Okay.
I think there are only like two guys.
The two guys on the cover.
Yeah.
So one of those two guys, I guess.
Yeah. There's one that's, you know, well, it's not important, but he just wasn't.
Probably somebody's great nephew, in those first.
Yeah, no, right?
Somebody's nephew or someone's kid.
I'm hoping maybe he gets a little bit better along the way. Because I think maybe in some of the later episodes, he starts to be, it's a little bit better, but he's very one-dimensional comic relief kind of thing. And the acting was garbage. Like the guy gets kidnapped and he's like, oh, I need to go. It was like, dude, you just been kidnapped. You know what I mean? Are you can you pretend kidnapped. To be a little scared or something?
Yeah.
I started playing The Last of Us.
Oh, yeah.
I found the, I guess I did have the game on my PS4. Yeah, so nice. I started playing it. I don't like to say I'm right, but one of the things, like, Ellie is very different. Like, again, she's not as confrontational in the video game as she is in the show. Because I remember, like, I think I've said it maybe once or twice, like, I don't like kids. And typically I think of as kid as anybody younger than me, Trent, I'm sorry.
You're
in that group.
Yeah.
You're in that group. Anybody younger than me, I look at you sideways, but, I didn't feel that way about Ellie in the video game playing it. Like she wasn't this annoying kid.
Yeah.
She's a little annoying to me I'm going to stop watching obviously, but she's too confrontational. You know, compared to the video game anyway. In the video game, she is a kid and it's basically like, you know, Joel is like this babysitter that she doesn't know. And there's some uneasiness between them, but it's nothing confrontational. But again, it's great. Tess is great in the video game.
Yeah.
Tess was awesome in the video game. She was cool in the series too, but
yeah, I remember enjoying her better in the game.
Yeah. She was definitely more of a badass in that game. There was one point where they catch up to the guy that took the battery and all that kind of stuff. And like, oh, I don't have any more. And he's like, yeah, but I'll help you guy get it. I'll help you get it. And he's droning on and she looks over at Joel and like, now what are we going to do? We got bam. And she shoots him in the head while she's talking to Joel, like doesn't even look at him. Yeah, just like puts around it. I'm like,
all right,
damn. All right, Tess. Yeah. She don't give a fuck. Yeah. They're definitely more equals in that. I would say in that video game, I think some people were complaining that Tess seems like she was more of the leader
in the movie show.
Yeah.
I saw that too. She was kind of maybe more running the show. It seemed like.
Yeah.
And
she definitely had like an opinion on things. She was on par, you know, with Joel as far as like her strength and her strength of character and all that kind of stuff. So, but that's neither here nor there. Great game.
Yeah, I bought the
did you buy the remaster? Oh, yeah, was it 70 or was it not? Was it not that much?
It was 70. Oh, but I bought the $80 version that comes with the extra downloads, like the explosive arrows and the other stuff.
Because
I'm actually thinking I might not play through the game like the right way. I think I'm gonna play through it with the explosive arrows and like the stuff just to try to like get through it a little faster.
Because I think they have I wanna say they do that in the second in Last of Us 2, you can do explosive.
Yeah, this was more of just out of convenience.
Yeah.
But I know I watched a bunch of videos about it, like the comparisons, and like visually it's supposed to be really, really different. The mechanics are supposed to be different too. Like they say it's built from the ground up, essentially a new game. So if you compare them to the other versions, it's a lot different. They say, but justifiably $70, not really, is what most people were saying too. The $70 version, I think if you beat it, you get all that stuff. So me, I was just like, well, I want all the stuff now.
So
just give it to me now.
For an extra $10. Right,
extra $10,
right.
Just give it to me now. So I set the download Friday morning when I left for work. I was going to come back home and play, but I ended up at Archie's house.
Oh, right on. So, getting drunk.
Yeah. But yeah, so I haven't had a chance to start it yet, but I am excited to play it again though.
Right on.
Yeah. Sorry, you were going to say?
That's about it.
Nice. Well, you remember what you were into this week though?
I'm surprised too. Fig. I'll forget by next time.
Yeah. I forgot now.
As long as somebody's forgetting, we're staying consistent. Yeah.
No, I don't think I watched much of anything else. I finished a lot of things. I've been kind of just staying current with the things I am watching. So like, Trigun, Stampede, I'm still watching. Caught up, Bad Batch, and Last of Us, I'm still trying to stay like ahead of it.
Yeah.
And then, for my pop punk fans out there.
Oh, yeah.
Probably none of you guys. But for those of you that don't know about the band Fall Out Boy, more so recently from like 2012 to now, they've been basically a pop band. They changed and went pop. But back in the day, from like 2004, 5, 6-ish up to 2008, they were a punk band, alternative band. They were really good. I thought they were really good back then. They just released a new song today, like in something like the first song in like 4 or 5 years that sounds like their old stuff.
Oh, cool.
So, and you follow both fans out there, check out their new song, Love from the Other Side, I think it's called. Yeah, I think so. It's pretty rocking.
It gets nice.
Gets my blood pumping a little bit. It reminds me of like rock music back then, or my rock music back then. And I was pretty excited about it.
Good shit.
Yeah. So, but yeah, other than that,
that's it. Yeah.
I don't think I watched it. Yeah, I swear I watched something else, but who cares? Who cares?
Remember next time.
Who cares? Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, that's it, I guess.
That's the show, everybody.
Yeah, we talked a little about Velma. Mm-hmm. We sold out a bit.
I think we unraveled some stuff.
Yeah, we got into some good, I think we got some good reasons why, other than just shitting on the show.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, which everyone else is doing.
Which, like I said, they're shitting on it for all the obvious reasons.
Yeah.
I mean, shit on it because it's written poorly, not because, you know, kids are doing stupid things.
Yeah. That's a dumb thing. Kids are always doing stupid things. I'm doing stupid things now. As an adult.
Yeah, you are. I'm looking right at you.
I'm watching you do stupid things as we speak. So, but yeah, otherwise, I mean, check it out for yourself. If you want, you know, if you want to see us,
I know. Like, normally I say that. I almost feel bad saying it about
this. Put someone through it.
But
I mean, they're 20-minute episodes. You can watch one.
Yeah.
Understand what we're talking about, I think, pretty immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely, you know, maybe check out an episode or two just so you can see, you know, what people are talking about.
Yeah. Because I was surprised going in to be like, how can a show be rated that bad? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I watched it. I was like, yeah, it's pretty bad. But, you know. I don't know, but I feel like I've seen things that were written, like just like movies that should not have been made. You know what I mean? Like a lot of times too, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Get into that too much. Anyway, that's it though.
That's it.
Cool. Thanks again for tuning in.
Appreciate it.
All episodes come up on Wednesday, as you know, and we're working pretty hard on a video still.
Yep.
As we speak. So otherwise, my name's Trent.
And I'm Mark.
And this has been Geek Off the Street.
You have been listening to the Geek Off the Street official podcast hosted by Trent Tucker, Mark Pope, and RJ Manoa. It is produced by Struggling Dreamer Studios, Manoa Motion, and Mark Pope. Executive produced by Self Guard Training, and music created and produced by Eric Tucker.
Good. All right.
I just watched. Did you crack it?
No, I went.
Oh, that's a loud crack. You can go see a chiropractor, man. Jason had Bob strike back, and then Matt Damon and Ben Affleck are like warming up for their scene in Good Will Hunting 2. And then they're just like, all right, you want to do Lion Face? Or then let's do Lion Face. And they go like, Lion Face, Lion Face, Lion Face, that's like their warm up.
Is that a thing?
So, dude, I don't know. It's like an actor's world.
Say lion face, lemon face?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like to loosen their face up against something.
Is that a...
Yeah. Yeah. And then it goes back to that one or the Ow Now Brown Cow from Taker Man.
That's probably real shit to probably do.
There's probably
You know what I mean? If it's there.
Yeah.
If it's
like to an extent, there's probably warm-ups, I imagine.
Exactly.
Vocal warm-ups, that kind of stuff.
Right.
So they're probably just like taking to the extreme.
Yeah.
I imagine, And I'm sure some actors probably have their own, I don't know, process or superstitions or whatever it is to before a scene starts.
I've heard of, I can't remember the actor's name, but he was saying something before, like he was, not the A E I O U kind of thing.
Oh, but
do something that, so you're ready to talk good.
Gotcha.